say welcome to everyone. I've already said hello, and we've had our chit-chat, so we've got that all out of the way. I want to welcome you all to the official meeting, and we want to acknowledge that we are, in fact, on unceded Mi'kmaq territory, and we wish to make the statement that we, in fact, will endeavor to do better as we move forward in relationship with the Mi'kmaq community. Thank you. And the agenda is before us. An approval on the agenda. Do you want to add anything, take anything away, or change anything on the agenda?
So moved.
I'll second.
Moved and seconded. Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Contrary minded? The agenda is approved. The minutes of April 28th, 2022 meeting. Are there any errors or omissions?
Yeah.
There is an error?
Yeah.
Point it out, please.
Councillor Chisholm.
Yeah. Ooh, we're going to slap her on the fingers.
Yeah, well.
And that was from a recording.
Well, it was always Councillor Chisholm for 7 years.
So I know,
can't blame
I know.
Anybody for that.
Hey, listen, You got the title. You may as well use it.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
No,
our deepest apologies. That will be changed to mayor.
You got the change?
Yes, it'll be right in this one.
Okay.
Good. Thank you. Any other changes or additions or deletions? Hearing none, we have a motion to approve.
I'll make a motion.
Second.
Thank you, Mary. All in favor?
Aye.
Contrary minded? And that's with the change to your name, Mr. Mayor.
Okay.
Thank you. Business arising. Do we want to carry on until the accountant gets here?
Yeah, he's going to be on Zoom, so we got 5 minutes.
Okay.
We can certainly do the first point there.
Do you want to deal with the treasurer's position?
Yes, I spoke to the auditor about it,
okay. And
he said it was really a board governance issue.
Yes.
Israel's board bylaws require a treasurer, and that's obviously standard practice.
Yes.
For a board. So by not appointing a treasurer, the board is creating a potential deficiency in controls, so financial oversight.
You should have one.
Of course. So the treasurer, checks the checks and looks into things and provides that oversight for the board. So that's his take on it. It's a board governance issue, and so he
yes.
threw it back to us for whether or not we can elect a treasurer.
And the point, I believe, if I recall correctly, and I do stand to be corrected, that we were trying to get it to be someone close so they could come in and do the signings and so on and so forth, if possible.
At this point, it can be anyone, and we'll pay them for the travel.
For example, Mary, how far would you have to drive to come down to help out with this?
An hour.
Half hour? That's not too bad.
We could pay anybody a mileage or
yeah,
whatever.
If you don't mind the drive.
Yeah, it's
Did you say it's too far for you?
Yeah, it's probably awkward. Claire? Claire? Can't. You're vice chair.
Yeah, you can't take two positions.
True.
Saved by the bell.
But we could change.
How about the mayor?
I'm only on it as a temporary basis.
Well, you could be treasurer on a temporary basis.
Well, if that's possible, yeah, I can do that.
I move mayor at Chisholm to you.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Treasurer.
Well, okay, how temporary is temporary? Because it is banking paperwork, right? So you're going to sign a bunch of paperwork at the bank, right?
That would
well,
be
it's going to be whoever takes the next seat.
Which
and when is the election going to be?
Yeah.
It's probably going to be by the end of next month.
Okay, so that's really not appropriate.
No, we're the next one
yeah.
want to take it.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about you coming out of the chair and taking the treasurer's position, then someone could take the vice chair's position. That would be easier, wouldn't it?
Because I'd have to come here.
He'd have further to drive than you would.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
45
okay.
minutes, and it would have to be on the weekend because I barely make it on the bus.
Yeah, you wouldn't be able to do it from Monday to Friday.
Okay. Well,
Blaine
can
take Blaine.
He had the sense not to
miss the meeting, in other words.
Yeah, to send regrets. I guess we should postpone to the AGM because it's going to have to be resolved.
Yeah, we've got to fill it at that time for sure.
Yeah, which is next meeting.
So
we voted them in.
Yes, it worked on me a few times.
Hey, you do what you have to do.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
But I think we all recognize the fact that you need one to make sure someone is checking the various details.
Yeah.
That makes sense, so.
Yep.
Yeah. So, AGM.
Yeah.
It has to be resolved
okay.
then.
We don't have a finance committee that could take over the responsibility
no.
for the position.
No.
Okay.
We are struggling to have a personnel committee, which
okay.
is the same issue. And according to the bylaws, again, the personnel is a standing
committee. You have to have...
Well, it's a standing committee
yeah.
of the board. And the committee is supposed to make recommendations to the board concerning policies regarding employee conditions of work, benefits, salaries,
personnel.
And cost of living increases. As a significant portion of the funding that the board oversees is spent on staffing, this is obviously very important work for the board to be engaged in. So, again, that would be an issue to be resolved at the AGM.
Good. That's
okay.
a good idea.
All right.
Very good. Okay, those two will wait on.
Yeah.
And the board meeting recording policy.
Yes.
So we have a little chat about that.
Yeah, we provided you with the draft.
Yes. Everybody's seen the draft, I'm assuming.
Yeah. And so, Trish, did you want to bring up the page with the minutes? And then we should have to zoom.
Oh, yeah.
Bring it up on the screen.
Yeah, I'm just going to show you where the minutes and the recordings will be posted on the website, just to make sure everyone has a sense of what it looks like. We decided to include a year timeline as the meeting minutes are posted for a year. So it would make sense if both the recording and the minutes were
okay.
available. So you can kind of see...
This would mean, though, that if I read this correctly, you'd be posting minutes that haven't been approved.
No, we post... What we would do is we would post the recording first.
Okay.
And then once the minutes are approved, they would go up with the recording.
Okay.
So if you scroll down there, Trish... The minutes are all currently up for the last year, and
okay.
the recording would be in a column next to it.
Okay.
So it would be when the recording was ready, it would be there. When the minutes were approved, they would show up next to it.
Okay.
And that would stay there for a year. So as we have a meeting and these things get approved, they would go up, and the last one would, you know, the oldest one would come down. We just thought it would be weird to have the recording up for 3 months and the minutes up for a year. And
yeah.
it just sort of makes sense to have somebody be able to easily reference the last year of discussion.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what it looks like.
Does that look like it will service our needs, everyone? What's the thought? Mm-hmm. Yeah, your opinion, sir, please.
Well, it's germane to the policy about the first one. Any person that attends must give the consent for recording. So any one of us could object tonight, and you'd have to shut it off.
I don't know, but essentially you do have to consent. If you had an objection, you could either not attend, or it could cause a legal issue with the recording. In the same way that the councils all have to consent to be recorded.
But the councils don't ask consent at every meeting.
No, never.
No, never. What they do is declare the policy. And if the policy is accepted, then it's considered a fait accompli.
Okay. I think the concern from the legal opinion draft, if you reference that document, was that anyone who was presenting would have to agree to
Oh,
consent.
Well, that makes sense.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Or anyone who was, you know, attending that didn't normally attend, for example,
okay.
would also have to.
Okay. That makes sense as well.
Yeah. So.
Does that work for everybody?
Right, so could the wording be changed that
yeah,
no,
sure.
if you come on this board, you can find
okay.
That would seem to make sense as
right.
well.
And that'd be really clear.
That's right. They
right.
know exactly what they were
right.
talking about.
Right.
Even
okay. So we should redraft and just make sure that
does
works.
Does that make sense for everybody? We're all
okay.
Yeah. All
your
we don't have to be
that?
Asked, or we,
yeah.
we can't.
No.
If we agree at the very start of our term here,
that's right.
Yeah.
It sounds like a really good resolution for me.
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll redraft accordingly
and
then
back.
Bring that back.
Good idea.
Okay.
At the AGM?
At the regular board meeting before the AGM.
Before the AGM.
Darren
You'll be here
Darren.
All night that night. Bring your pajamas.
Yeah. So everyone, Darren Chasson, our auditor for many, many years, is online with us.
Okay.
Hi, Darren. Can we hear him?
Hi, everyone.
Hi. Welcome to the meeting. I'm Shirley McNamara, the chair for the evening. Do you want to know the rest of the folks? I can have them say their names and introduce themselves.
No, I think we're okay.
You're okay. Okay, thank you, Darren.
Since I can't see everyone anyway, I think we're fine.
Okay, you got the floor then, sir.
Okay, so you all have a copy of the financial statements in front of you.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes.
Okay, so just before we get to that, I just want to cover up a couple things on the audit side. So, you know, things went very well with respect to the audit. The status of it as of right now would be we are substantially complete. A couple things has to happen before we can issue our final statements. One being a legal confirmation, so we are required to send out a legal confirmation that there is no outstanding claims. So when we get that back, then secondly, the approval hopefully by the board this evening will set that everything else in motion. And then we'll get some final sign-offs from Laura on some required documents as we move forward. We expect all of this to happen by the end of next week. So we're proposing probably June 2nd as being the date. And that likely will be most dependent on when the legal confirmation comes back. So once we are complete, we're in the position to issue our auditor's report, which will be an unmodified report. As you have had in the past, so says that, you know, the financial statements present fairly in all material respects the financial position of the library. So that will be issued once everything has been done and complete. So materiality for the audit is $47,000. So what that means is that we could find an error in your statements up to $47,000. Still be in a position from an audit point of view to issue our unmodified report. We have recorded through approval of Laura, all journal entries that we've come across are now recorded in your financial statements, so there are no unrecorded items that we are aware of that has not been recorded. We have not identified any instances of fraud or non-compliance with laws or regulations. The accounting policies used in preparing your financial statements are consistent and in line with not-for-profit standards. Before we move on, confirm our independence. We will issue an independence letter to the library that says that we're not aware of any relationships that we've had that would bear on our ability to be independent, so we will confirm that in writing at the time that we release the financial statements. So then, on to the financial statements that you have. So I will move to the statement of financial position, which shows your assets and liabilities, net assets. So this is where you see a little bit of activity this year. First off, I guess I'll point out that it's been a very busy year with respect to capital assets over what you normally would do. So one of the areas in the asset section that you'll see a significant change in would be the capital assets. So included in there is about $185,000 in new books. Now that's a significant investment, higher than it's been over the last number of years, certainly. There's also $138,000 of equipment. Some of that would be the kiosk. Some of it would be relating to the Shetty Camp renovation. And then there was also about $6,000 in new computers. So those items are depreciated over a period of time. The books has a very quick depreciation. It's generally 2 years. But with a half-year rule. So generally what happens is you would expense a quarter of it this year, a half of it next year, and a quarter of it the year after. And it's sort of a rolling write-off of your books over a number of years. Equipment tends to be a little bit longer. It's usually a 5-year write-off. And computers are very quick. They tend to be a 2-year write-off. You will also notice on the top line that your cash position has gone down. That's largely due to the capital investments that you made this year. Some of it was funded by grants, but other amounts were not funded through grants. They're funded through your own operations and reserves. So talk to that in just a minute as we go to the cash flow statement, but before we get there, I'll just highlight a couple other things for you. Trade and receivables was up a little bit at the end of the year. I believe it's been subsequently collected. There was a large receivable from a municipal unit at the end of the year that has since been received. Intangible assets is a new item that you see. That's a website. The total cost was about $25,000. It's been depreciated somewhat this year. Again, a very quick write-off. That's a two-year write-off. But that is a new asset that you see on your books. In the liability side, your trade and other payables has increased. One of them is due to timing. Typically, your insurance is paid before year end, but this year the bill was still outstanding at the end of the year. So that was about $18,000. And your sick accrual has increased. It's now sitting at just shy of $30,000. That's been fairly typical of what we've been seeing in a lot of not-for-profits, with limitations of staff being able to leave for sick time. They tend to be working more than they have in the past. Deferred contributions is revenue that you receive typically through grant money for a specific purpose. And until you spend it for that particular purpose, you sit it here on your statement of financial position, and it sits as a liability. As you spend the money, it gets recognized as revenue to match the expense that it was designed to cover. So an example of this would be French grant. You get the money. If you don't spend it on the French grant, you would hold it in this deferred revenue account until you spend it, and then it would come over to revenue and offset the expense that you have. It also contains grants for capital purposes, and what happens here is the revenue that you get for that grant comes to into revenue at the same rate as the capital asset. So for example, if you got funding for let's say the kiosk. So you got funding for that. The funding you receive for that will be recognized over the same period of time as the kiosk would be depreciated. So the whole idea is to match the revenue that you receive and the expense, so that you don't have any significant fluctuations up or down in revenues and expenses for a given year. So that's following accounting rules. And that can fluctuate depending on what you receive, when you receive it, and when you spend the money. In your net asset section, you'll see that in total it has gone up by about $32,000, which is the income that you have for the year. But you'll see there's been a change in the various reserves and funds in which you hold. And that's because of the capital intensive nature that you had this year. So your operating and capital reserves haven't changed. Capital reserve went down slightly. There were some service charges on the bank account. Other than that, it hasn't changed. But you'll see the investment that you've had in capital assets has significantly gone up. So you spent a lot in capital assets at the expense of the unrestricted fund. So within the unrestricted fund, you do have, let's see, I've got the number, you do have about $60,000 in deferred revenue that you'll recognize over the next number of years. So when that's recognized, that will offset that unrestricted balance. However, after that's fully recognized, you'll still be left with about a $50,000 deficiency in your operating fund. Now, one of the things that hasn't been done, but certainly could be done, depending on whatever your decisions are, you do have some money in a capital reserve set aside for capital purposes. This may be a time where you wish to use it. As well, you have some money set aside in the operating reserve that has not been used. So should you wish to use any of that and draw down some of the unrestricted deficit, we could still do that in the draft statements, but that's a decision of the board that would have to be made. On the next page is the income statement or the statement of operations, which shows your revenues and expenses. Naturally, when you look to the bottom of the page and you see that For the year, you had a net profit of $32,893. Now, keep in mind, this is done on an accrual basis. So the key area here is, you know, you think about what you did this year. You spent $355,000 in capital asset purchases and intangible asset purchases, so your website. However, in your income statement, you're only recognizing an expense of $191,000, and that's just the depreciation. So it's very difficult by just simply looking at this set of financial statements to say, how did we do based on our budget? All right, because your budget would have been done on a cash basis. You would have said cash in, cash out, and generally break. However, in the financial statements, you can't expense capital, you have to depreciate it, and therefore it causes differences in recognition between the way you budget and the way you report. There is more information that you could get. You could break it down and reconcile the two. We haven't done that. It's outside of the scope of what an audit would be. But if there were concerns that said, well, why do we have a $30,000 profit showing? I think that what you would see is that on a cash basis, you actually have reduced your cash, which we talked about a little bit earlier, and I'm going to highlight for you in a second. But you see from the revenue sources, there's not a significant change in your revenue. From a provincial level, there were some grants that you did receive, particularly around capital assets, as well as you deferred some revenue, largely in your French, your Acadian grant, to offset the capital costs that you incurred. That will come into revenue, like I said, as the depreciation. So you see the last line item in expenses is amortization. Each year, that accounts for a portion of the capital assets that you purchase. So as that gets included in the expense, you will have an offset of some of that relating to the grant in your revenue section. So it's difficult to plan that out. You don't budget for that type of accounting. You budget for capital or cash in and out. So you'll see that you know, your expenses went up by about $70,000. The statement of cash flows is on page 4, and that highlights for you. Where your cash came in and cash got spent. So the first section under the operating heading shows your income. We add to that depreciation because that's just an accounting thing. And then you add to that the changes in your receivables and your payables. So the money that came in and out based on just operating your organization. So you took in $213,000 of new cash, but you spent $354,000 in capital, so therefore your cash actually went down by $140,000 this year. Still, you have $193,000 in the bank, and you have $22,000 set aside for the capital purposes that you set up in the reserve funds. The remainder of the financial statements gives more detail. First off, it's about the accounting policies that you use. There are no changes to those. So we'll just skip over that. On page 6, you get a little more detail about where your capital assets are. And you can see that for the most part this year, the two areas of significant increase would be with respect to books and also with respect to equipment. You can see your intangible asset set up, which is your website, and depreciated $6,400 this year. And then finally, I'm going to get you to flip to the last page, page 8. And I just point that out because that is where your detail of revenues can be found based on the source. So the first is the province of Nova Scotia. You see the big area would be the formula grant, Acadian grant. Again, it's down, but it's only down because some of it's deferred because you did use some of it for capital purposes. total commander revenue over a period of time. And then the other revenue that has gone up, the big part of that is the library development fund that was obtained for purposes of capital. So the portion that was depreciated on the capital side, we also recognized a portion of the revenue side for that. That was about $17,700 of library development fund that you see there in revenue. The next section is the contributions from the municipal councils. And then finally, the revenue from other sources, most notably being from donations. Anybody have any questions on the financial statements?
Mr. Rankin.
Yeah, Mr. Schiss, on the final page, you say that for 2022, we raised $968,836, taking in the provincial, Acadian, and the equity grant?
Yes.
But on the page two, it says that province of Nova Scotia gave us 968, and this for councils gave us 231. I'm just a little confused where the number comes from.
So on the last page, under province of Nova Scotia heading, there's four lines.
I see it now. Sorry. Got it.
Yep.
Yeah, sorry.
No worries.
Okay. If I could continue, go on. When did we put the heat pump and revise the heating?
Darren, that was the, not this year that just finished,
the
but
before.
The year before. But I mean, I think Darren, you spoke to that in the sense of like that investment can't be realized, like it has to be amortized over a period of time.
Yeah.
So.
No, I was just wondering because the heating costs are the same for the last 2 years. I just thought that we'd see a difference, but it's the year before.
Well, yeah, maybe the year before. And we can certainly pull that in as
yeah,
a total
no,
different topic.
Yeah.
We'll just pull that info.
I was just confused the time.
Yeah. So Darren, would you say that our position is good? Or any sort of general comments that?
I think it's a good result.
Yeah.
There was a significant cash investment this year,
yeah.
Obviously. With respect to, you know, your bulk purchases were much bigger than they've been in the past. The equipment has been, a lot of it's being funded, but my suggestion to you would be, if I was sitting around the table, I would look to the capital reserve and say, what are we using this for? Why are we holding on to this? If we're making significant capital investments this year, perhaps we should be using that now. So that would be a question that I would have if it was my decision. But other than that, I think for the most part, you know, it's moving along well.
On that note of the capital investments, the library does need to, well, in theory needs to buy a new vehicle sometime in the next year or two, but it's sort of a terrible time to buy a vehicle, because it's hard to obtain them. So that would be a capital asset that money would go towards eventually, sometime in the next couple of years. Is that something we should budget, or is that something that we should, take the opportunity when we really, really need to and have a board motion to that effect?
I guess it's six and one half dozen and another, really. If you have a specific purpose for the capital reserve, then I would say leave it there. If it was a capital reserve that you didn't really have a particular item that you were sort of thinking to use it for,
Then
I would say this is as good a year as any to use it.
Okay, because we can't get grants for a vehicle. We can get grants
right.
for a lot of other things, but we can't get grants for a vehicle. So
right.
that's what the capital has been typically directed towards, and that's what is still in my mind as an essential purchase.
Right.
But we are trying to maintain the current vehicles as long as we can, obviously. So,
Darren, we have
another
question here for Mr. Rankin.
Yeah, Darren, just wondering what your recommendation would be, like what you just said about using the reserves. Like next year, all municipalities are going to be required to pay us more.
This year.
Well,
this year, 2020.
Yeah, it'll be reflected next year.
You're right, yes.
Yeah.
So
of course.
I'm just wondering, like, do we use the reserve now, or do we wait till we get that increase
Well, there's no hurry to use it. Like I said, I think you have something in mind that you're going to use it for, so I would say leave it.
Okay.
If it was just a general reserve for something that's going to happen in the future, I would say, okay, maybe you want to use it. I think at the end of the day, what you need to consider is that once all the deferred revenue is recognized on the items that you have deferred revenue for capital purposes, the unrestricted deficit is going to be about $50,000. Mm-hmm. Now, the only way you can recover that is through surplus. Mm-hmm. Okay, that goes away when you have a surplus, a true surplus that's not because of depreciation.
Right.
So, you know, I wouldn't say that you're in a bad position. I think on a go-forward basis, just know that you do have an unrestricted deficit, and it would be something whereby, you know, you may want to budget a small surplus over the next couple of years to offset the accumulated deficiency.
If
that continues to grow, that would be problematic. It would start creating cash flow concerns.
Okay.
Right? Like, you know, at $50,000, it's not at hand. But if it continued to grow, you would start to feel the crunch on cash flow.
On that note, then, instead of budgeting a transfer to capital, would we budget the surplus?
You can call it whatever you want in your budget.
Okay.
At the end of the day, if you're saying, you know, a transfer to capital, but it's really a transfer for capital you've already spent.
Yeah.
Then really, you're budgeting for a small surplus. So, you know, it's semantics at that point.
Okay.
As long as you're trying to budget for what you spent,
right,
on the programs that you didn't previously, I guess, budget for.
Okay.
Did that answer your question, Claire? Got enough? Okay. Anyone else with questions for Darren? Anyone else with questions on the finances? This is the opportunity of a lifetime because he's got all the answers.
Whether we understand them or not is another
issue. Well, yeah, that's another issue.
Okay. So Darren has another meeting if there's nothing else for him.
I don't hear any or see any hands up or hear anybody waving or whatever. So it looks, Darren, like you've answered all our questions and given us all the necessary information to move forward with. Thank you very much.
So what we look for is, I guess, a motion from you.